When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest issues, etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We keep the Issues Etc. comment line open for our listeners 24/7. The number 618-223-8382. It's for your questions and comments, show suggestions, criticisms. If you want to enter the conversation, if you don't think the conversation went the way it should, if there was a question I didn't ask that you thought I should have, that's where you leave it, at the Issues Etc. comment line. It's 618-223-8382. Let's begin with a question about Christian nationalism.
Hello, I am calling today from Watertown, Wisconsin. My name is Petrina, and my question is about Christian nationalism, or just white nationalism, white supremacy. There are so many terms out there on this subject that I'd wonder if you could have a show which explains all of these. I don't know if there are any nuances between them, but just what is going on and what are their motivations and beliefs, etc. Thank you so much for everything. You guys are terrific and a wonderful blessing to all of us.
Well, thank you very much for your comment. It's a very good question. It's timely as well. And we will schedule at least an interview to try and sort out some of that. The problem is, if you're on social media or if you watch the kind of the legacy media, listen to our politicians, particularly those on the left, it's all one big spitball. It doesn't really make any difference what they're saying, which adjectives they attach. They talk about white nationalism, white supremacy, Christian nationalism. They just roll it all into one ball and throw it at you, which is why a lot of Christians are adverse to the use of any of those terms, when they actually, up until, 10 minutes ago, did have sociological and political definitions. So I don't think we want to abandon the terms entirely just because political opponents use them. That's really a recipe. That's just retreat. When you start giving up terms that are otherwise very useful because your opponents are misusing them, think about if we did that in a theological sense. What if the reformers would have given up every theological term that was being misused by the Roman Catholics? We would have been left with no terms. We would have been left with no definition. It would have been a complete theological retreat. So if we're not going to do that with the thing that matters most, then we really shouldn't do it with lesser things like politics and our social views. So we want to have accurate definitions, even if our political opponents on either side, on the right or the left, are misusing and mischaracterizing these terms. That's why what you're asking for, a show clarifying the real differences between the real definitions, is a very, very good suggestion. Now, where those who want to use this merely as political ammunition want to just roll it all up into one big cannonball and fire it at us, anyone who is right of center is a white nationalist. Anyone who is right of center on any issue is a Christian nationalist, regardless of whether they're a Christian or not. The term of art nowadays politically is white supremacist, which can apply to anybody of any race, as long as they just did something bad that you want to condemn. So where those who are not interested in the truth want to confuse the issue and conflate these terms, Christians who are always interested in the truth, wherever they find it, want to distinguish these things from one another, understand them correctly, and then where God's word clearly speaks, say either that's a good thing or that's a bad thing. So it's an excellent suggestion. Part of the problem is the adjectives. Part of the problem is that there is such a thing as Christian nationalism historically that is pretty innocuous. You can go to Western Europe right now, and there are political parties that are Christian nationalist party. They're not Nazis. They're not national socialists. They simply are political parties that, at least in their roots, had, at the very least, kind of Christian moral values guiding their platforms. And the term nationalist is, up until very recently, completely innocuous. You know what nationalist means? Just look it up. It means someone who believes that their nation, they should prioritize the well-being of their nation over against other nations. They used to be called patriotism, actually. And so you ask anybody, well, should we prioritize the interests of the United States over those of other nations, even our allies, in most cases? You could go to the White House right now and probably ask the President of the United States, should we prioritize the United States' interest over that of other nations? And he would say yes. And by the classic definition, that would make him a nationalist. The problem is that word has been weaponized into this kind of vague idea of some sort of sinister plot to somehow undermine the freedoms of others. We'll get on it. We'll get the interview going. And when we do, we'll highlight it for you.
This is Mark of Brighton, Illinois. This is in regard to the question of what is woke. God's word is performative. It does what it says. In other words, when God says, let there be light, there is light. When Jesus says, this is my body, it is his body. Wokeness is the belief that our words are also performative. A woke person thinks that if they say they are a kitty cat, they really are a kitty cat. When they say that when they jump off a 30-story building and flap their arms and they will fly, they think they will fly. I personally think wokeness is a form of idolatry and that it violates the first commandment. Thank you.
Well, I think you're on to something, an element of wokeness, at least one of its presuppositions. And you're right. It is a form of idolatry, and it is a form of claiming for oneself the ability to create reality by your words or your thoughts. That's not all there is to wokeness. It's very complicated. We've done many, many interviews with many, many guests on it, and it has all sorts of facets. But it does have at its very core the very postmodern notion that if I say something, it makes it true. Or I don't even have to say it anymore. I can just think it. Just thinking something changes reality. I create my own reality because at the heart of this notion is there really is no objective truth. Postmodernism, classical postmodernism, used to say, well, there's no objective truth out there. They would say, oh, sure, there's reality. We can't know what it is. We can only try to describe it. We describe it with our words, which really have no meaning because there's no objective truth. That's classic postmodernism. But it's morphed into something, and it is an element of wokeness. It's morphed into something where it's not just that there isn't any objective truth. There also isn't any reality beyond what I say there is. And if that isn't a feeble statement of I'm God, what I say is, what I say goes, my words, my ideas are reality. Well, I don't know what it is. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Joy Pullman of The Federalist talking about a Washington Post story titled The Revolt of the Christian Homeschoolers.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further in our adventures in the Acts of the Apostles with Peter's second sermon, part 2, Peter and John arrested. We cannot but speak. Voices lifted to God and everything in common. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.